This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. Boston City Council President Andrea Campbell wants to establish an independent inspector general to investigate any charges of waste, fraud, and abuse in city government. The context for her proposal? Well, last month, a federal judge found two City Hall officials guilty of extortion and conspiracy. And then last week, John Lynch, a former planning agency official, agreed to plead guilty to charges that he accepted $50,000 to influence a vote of the city's Zoning Board of Appeal. Over the weekend, a member of that board resigned. Mayor Walsh has tasked a former federal prosecutor with investigating the ZBA. He also ordered a wider procedural review. Councillor Andrea Campbell says that doesn't go far enough, and she's here in Studio 3 to tell us why. Councillor Campbell, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thank you, and thank you for having me.
So why do you think Boston needs its own inspector general?
So for me, as you can imagine, I've been receiving a lot of calls and complaints and concerns with respect to zoning and development. There's a lot of development happening in the city of Boston. Of course, people are paying attention. But when you have folks who are convicted or not just convicted of bribery, but agreeing to pay a fine and possibly go to jail, people are really alarmed. And so rather than sit back and take those concerns and say, let's see what we can do, I said, we have to go and do something. And the time is now to do that. So I'm calling for the creation of an inspector general. We have one at the state level, and I think that's great. But what does it mean to bring it down to the local level where someone can be more hands-on, can be more proactive, not reactive, where there is a sense of making sure that our government is run with transparency, accountability, and overall, this is good governance. I've been reviewing statutes and ordinances from across the country. A lot of cities have this, including Baltimore, Chicago, Philadelphia, New York City. And it's an opportunity not just to respond to the recent incidents of what some people are calling corruption or bad practice, whatever it is. And it's not to also assume that the mayor had a direct hand in any of these things, but particularly Lynch, for example. But it's bigger than that. You know, this is an office that could be used to look at financial auditing departments who have tremendous resources to make sure they're using those resources wisely, efficiently, effectively. And then more importantly, to do it from an independent space where this person in this office is not accountable to the mayor or the city council, but to the public.
Let's pick up this independent idea. I want to ask a little more specifically what an inspector would do, an inspector general would do in that office.
So it could look into investigating not only complaints of corruption or concerns around corruption, around waste. So some departments, for example, folks may come forward and say, what are you doing with our public dollars? I focus a lot on education, and I frequently ask with a large budget of over $1 billion within BPS, for example, how are those dollars being spent and how can we wrap our head around that? We recently had a question around permitting related to a parade. How much money was used for that? Who determined that? What was the process? So this person could look into a lot of different things, have subpoena powers. The list is long, and they should be empowered. This office should be empowered to ensure transparency, accountability with respect to taxpayer dollars, but more importantly, be allowed to investigate to ensure that we are living up to the ideals. And what I mean by that is we say we want transparency. Great.
Yep.
Let's do
yep.
it. We say we want to be held accountable if something goes wrong, and that can happen, right? City employees work really hard, but they don't necessarily have the best practices in terms of accountability. So this person would really oversee all of that and do it not just from a reactive stance, but from a proactive stance,
so
which is critically important.
Quite powerful. You said subpoena
yes.
power, for example.
Yes.
So that's a really important appointment. So who makes that appointment, given all the authority that would be in that office?
So if you look across the country, particularly at the cities that have done this, it differentiates. There are some who appoint, have the mayor appoint the IG. Some do it, the mayor in partnership with a city council. Others have done an advisory board or something more creative or an ethics commission. I think Baltimore has a great example where they've used an advisory board. And much of what I'm thinking pulls from that, where it's a combination of folks who are appointed not only by the mayor, but also by the council, but also members of the public are pulled into this advisory board. And this advisory board, which would have to be approved after, say, a public hearing by the council, would then be tasked to hire and put into position an IG.
And then would they have oversight over that IG?
Exactly. Okay. And we could put into place, you know, reasons, you know, the IG can only be released for cause, for example. We've seen that in other ordinances. Making sure they're truly independent, nonpartisan.
Limited almost, terms.
Exactly. But a term limit that covers longer than the period of a council or mayor term. So, for example, in my recommendations, I say 5 years, which would go longer than a term, a four-year term of a mayor, for example. Truly being able to be the fiscal watchdog, an independent watchdog that the taxpayers, I think, deserve. And I want to be crystal clear. This is not about one individual person or one individual case. This is about good governance. And, you know, obviously the recent incidents sparked or at least led me to think about not only naming the problem and the concerns around it, but what we could actually do. I always like to be solution oriented, and I think this is a great idea.
Did you have this idea prior to these recent incidents, or is this a relatively new thought of yours?
I had heard about this. So I attend conferences with other city council presidents, for example, who are often talking about the limitations of the council, but particularly Boston City Council, whether it is the Philadelphia City Council, Chicago, Baltimore, and many of these conferences are talking about the authority they have, which far exceeds the city of Boston's council. Even appointments around department heads go through the council. We don't have such authority. So we're trying to, of course, be effective in the work we do, hold folks accountable with the limited authority we have. So I've heard about this IG position, and now it just seemed timely to say this is now the time to do it. And what we're talking about warrants the conversation. And I'm excited to have it not only with the mayor and the administration, my colleagues, residents, because I think it's a good one and a good way to go.
Okay, so you talked earlier about the watchdog value of this office. You know, Massachusetts has a U.S. attorney, Andrew Lelling. He's investigating allegations of bribery at the Zoning Board of Appeal. He was part of the conviction of the two former City Hall aides. Mary Marty Walsh himself has tasked a former federal prosecutor, Brian Kelly, with investigating possible corruption at the ZBA. Hired a law firm, Sullivan and Worcester, to do a comprehensive review of the process. Are you arguing that all of that just isn't enough? There needs to be even more?
I think each office plays a different role. So if you look at, for example, our district attorney, she plays a role with respect to how she shows up in the city of Boston.
Rachel Rollins
investigating homicides and fatalities. The U.S. Attorney's office plays a certain role. The AG's office. I actually just had a meeting with some folks from the AG's office about auto insurance disparities. They play a certain role. But then we have to ask who plays the role within our own city government to make sure that we are delivering good governance to our constituents, ensuring that the money that and the funds and resources that our taxpayers entrust us with is being spent wisely, efficiently, and effectively. And if something goes wrong, that someone is holding us accountable in all of us, right, including the council. No one, I think, is really tasked with doing that in a direct, proactive way within the city of Boston and within our government. Occasionally, of course, we go to outside firms or others for these investigations, which are costly. They are not cheap. I'm still looking into, it's a part of this conversation, how much these things cost. We might actually save money by creating this office and having someone consistently look at our practices to ensure that we're actually delivering good governance practices to our constituents. And so I'm looking at doing it internally and to a certain extent, obviously within an office within the city of Boston, but that is still an office that is independent, separate and apart from the departments, from the mayor's office, and from the council.
Okay.
And I'll just add, with respect to when we choose a law firm, there's no real process around that. You know, I just learn about, you know, who we pick as a law firm. It's not like the council's involved in that. So this is these are public cases. They deserve to be done by a public entity in some way for the investigation to be public and transparent, and then for the results and all of that to be delivered. And then an IG can decide, for example, if there's some value of bringing in an external law firm, which costs a lot of money. And if so, there should be some justification for that criteria. criteria may be attached, et cetera.
Okay. So we're talking with Boston City Council President Andrea Campbell. I want to ask, did you talk with Mayor Walsh about this idea before you announced it? And what kind of response have you received from the mayor's office?
I did. I gave him a heads up that I looked forward to, that I thought this was a good idea, and that I look forward to engaging with him and his team on this. He was very receptive. I think, you know, to be crystal clear, he too is not happy with Lynch. And from all accounts, he didn't know about it. It was quite a surprise. He is obviously doing what he thinks is best in terms of these investigations, reviewing the practices at the ZBA. And I think that's all great. But for me, it's bigger than the ZBA. It's bigger than zoning and development. We have an opportunity here to create an office that is looking at this all the time. And frankly, I think you sort of give away the burden of always having to look at every department. You can't do that alone. And so why not task someone who with the skill set to be able to do that? And so it's a conversation that will be ongoing with him, his administration. And of course, I have to talk to my colleagues, residents, but folks are already weighing in, which is a really good idea.
Okay.
And saying that they think it's a good idea and something we should absolutely look into, or something that maybe we should have done a long time ago.
Okay. I want to note, we invited Mayor Walsh also to come on the show today. He wasn't available. He did release a statement today. I'm going to read just a little bit of it. Quote, Mayor Walsh welcomes a conversation about additional oversight at the City of Boston, and that's why he's asked for an independent review of this incident and the entire ZBA. It goes on to say that he's, quote, fully committed to overhauling the Zoning Board of Appeal, end quote. There's corruption and then there's influence, and influence is not necessarily illegal. There was an article recently in the Bay State Banner by editor Yawu Miller, who basically said, you know, the ZBA, the Boston Planning and Development Authority, Inspectional Services were created as checks on the development process. But in reality, there's a really small, tight-knit group of people who hold influence. That seems like an even bigger deal. Will any of that be affected by your proposal here?
I think so.
And
if anything, by creating this office, one, we make it bigger than what the mayor's talking about in his statement. Absolutely, the ZBA and processes around the appointments to the zoning board, who determines the special permits and regulations and the influence that you see at the ZBA. I mean, I've been before the ZBA. I'm a district counselor. We handle development projects all the time. We're on the front lines opposing projects, and ultimately we lose. And it's shocking to me sometimes if you have a lot of residents who are in opposition and we don't win the day. But what I think an IG could do is not only look at practices and policies, but could also be a space to receive some of these concerns and complaints from community. Right now, they come to the council or to colleagues on the council, and we don't necessarily, I can only speak for myself, feel equipped to really address things as adequately as I would like. We don't necessarily have the authority with respect to the zoning. Some of it involves the state. It gets really complex. This office could really be equipped with the authority outside of the relationships that counselors have or the their subjective or sometimes objective views on things to truly be independent to those concerns and complaints that we often get. We get a place to bring those concerns, or an office or a person to bring those concerns to, with the hope that we not only deliver transparency, accountability, and good governance, but also make sure that our processes are objective, that to get things done in this city, that you don't have to have relationships, that everything doesn't have to be relational, and frankly, that it's all couched in equity.
Okay.
And that's why I'm a firm believer in equity, because it gets away from this idea of everything having to be relational to get things done.
Okay, so we've got about 1 minute left with you.
No
so
problem.
Just very briefly, what's next for the proposal?
So I am currently working on an ordinance and looking at the various models across the country, and we'll put forth one and hope to have it reviewed not only with my colleagues but by the public to get folks to weigh in, as well as the administration, to ultimately create this office to serve the residents of the City of Boston. And that's who I'm accountable to.
All right. Boston City Council President Andrea Campbell. Councilor Campbell, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you. And thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So for more, let's turn to WBUR reporter Callum Borchers, who's been reporting on the ZBA bribery scandal as it unfolds. Callum, Welcome back to Radio Boston.
Hey, again, Tiziana.
So you were listening just now to the counselor. What's your reaction?
Well, it's a compelling case. And I was on the phone this afternoon with someone in the state inspector general's office seeking comment for some reporting that I'm doing on the John Lynch bribery scandal, seeing if perhaps they would weigh in. And they will not at this point, by the way. But you get a sense for how busy that office is. I mean, the state inspector general is charged with sort of overseeing not only all of the state government, but also all of the city governments, because individual cities like Boston don't have one of their own. So you can see why Councillor Campbell thinks that perhaps Boston ought to get one of its own and have total attention on them.
So we're in a complicated situation that would require oversight right now. Can you lay out the timeline again for us and the key players in this latest city corruption scandal?
Sure. So John Lynch is the principal figure who you mentioned earlier. He's 66 years old and what you'd call a city government lifer. Until last month, he was the assistant director of real estate in a division of the Boston Planning and Development Agency. And according to court documents, he previously spent more than two decades in Boston's Department of Neighborhood Development. So he's been working for the city for a long, long time. The developer who allegedly paid him the $50,000 bribe is not named in court documents, Tiziana, but the documents do include a pretty detailed description that points to a developer named Stephen Turner and credit the Boston Globe with being the first one to connect all the dots there. Prosecutors say that the developer wanted to sell a piece of property in South Boston in May of 2017, and he needed a favorable vote by the zoning board to maximize the property's value as a place where someone could build an 11-unit condo building. So Lynch is expected to plead guilty tomorrow to taking that $50,000 bribe in exchange for influencing the vote of one of the zoning board members who needed to sign off. Now, the zoning board member is also not named in court documents. Prosecutors describe the member simply as someone Lynch had known for several years on a personal and professional basis. That could be a few different people. And it was sort of a mystery for about a week. And then over the weekend, a ZBA member, Craig Galvin, resigned from the board. And that sort of solved the case.
Although he didn't say that he resigned as a result of this situation.
Did not
correct?
Say explicitly. The logic follows.
Yeah.
And the relationship is there. In fact, Galvin was the listing agent on a property that John Lynch sold recently near his home in Savin Hill. So there is that relationship established.
Okay. So how close do these accusations get to the mayor at this point?
Yeah, I'd call it a glancing blow at this point. Galvin was a Walsh appointee in 2016, so that's not a good reflection, perhaps, but you can't be personally responsible for everything that one of your appointees does, of course. And in response, Walsh is commissioned, as the counselor mentioned earlier, Brian Kelly. He's an attorney. He was the former head of the Public Corruption Unit in the U.S. Attorney's Office to help with this review of the ZBA. And also one of the mayor's top advisors, William Buddy Christopher, is on temporary leave during this investigation, sort of like a recusal. The connection there is that Christopher was head of the Inspectional Services Department, which is like the building department they issue the permits and do the administrative duties for the zoning board. He also was the original architect on the project in development before he joined city government. So there's enough of a connection there that he has stepped aside for the time being.
All right. So you went to a Zoning Board of Appeal meeting this morning. It was the first one since all this news broke. Was it awkward? How did it go?
It was crowded. The ZBA has never been so popular.
I bet.
Think, you know, I was there. Channel 5 was there. The Globe was there. So that's unusual, obviously, for a zoning board meeting. But frankly, it was kind of dull, Tiziana. I mean, there was a brief acknowledgement at the beginning that, like, okay, you know, Galvin has resigned. We thank him for his service. And then it was just a regular zoning board meeting. But I will say it was a reminder, sitting there for about 90 minutes, of how one could sort of easily tuck a little bit of petty corruption into these kinds of proceedings, because everything is sort of so mundane and they move so quickly through project after project that approving one project over another might easily go unnoticed.
All right, Callum, so what questions remain? I mean, this is still unfolding. What remains?
I think what I'm wondering still is, what's the rest of the story, and where are we going to find out? You know, this bribe has been sort of a head scratcher from the get-go, because the type of zoning variance that the board granted in this case is not uncommon, Tiziana. This is the sort of project that gets approved by the zoning board with some frequency. And for that matter, we don't know exactly how John Lynch is alleged to have influenced the vote of a zoning board member. But even if he did sway that person, we're talking about one vote on a 7-member board. It just seems odd that it's the kind of thing that someone would pay $50,000 for. So I think that's sort of the question is, what else do we not know here?
That is WBUR Bostonomics reporter Kellum Borchers. Kellum, you're following this closely. We're going to be interested to hear what else you find.
Yes, there'll be more coming on this story this week, starting with what we expect will be a guilty plea formally entered on Thursday.
All right. Well, Kellum, thanks for being with us today.
Glad to be with you.
All right. Stay with us. There's more ahead. I'm Tiziana Deering. This is Radio Boston.